Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we continue in our sermon series titled Baseline, God's Measurement for Success. We're going to explore our purpose, our vision, and our mission, as well as our culture, and we want to see God's standard for our church and our individual lives as well. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
So we're continuing our series called Baseline, God's Measurement for Success. And whether you realize it or not, I've been mentioning it, but it's really a sermon series based on our church's purpose, vision, and mission statements, as well as our culture. And we're going to cover our culture next week. But this is where we've been so far. Purpose asks the question, why do we exist? If we don't know why we exist, then there is no baseline for measuring if we are successful or not, right? You remember the 2x4 that I held up? Say, hey, is that 2x4 the right length? Well, we don't know. It depends on its purpose. So if we don't know why we exist, then there is no baseline. There's no baseline whatsoever. Why do we exist? We exist for the gospel and the glory of God. And then we covered our vision. Our vision answers the question, what do we want to see? So we exist for the gospel and the glory of God, but what do we want to see happening? What should be happening that brings glory to God? What should be happening? We want to see lives changed by connecting with Jesus. That's what we want to see. Because we covered that we do want to bring glory to God. Everything should bring glory to God, but there's a problem. Not everyone and not everything does bring glory to God. So we have ourselves as well as everybody else in this world that needs to be changed. And the only change that is going to matter is being connected to Jesus and then being changed so that what used to not bring glory to God then brings glory to God. It's not rocket science, right? So that's our vision. That's what we want to see. And then we embarked on 3 weeks of breaking down our mission. And our mission answers the question, what does God want us to do? All right? So why do we exist? For the glory of God. What do we want to see? We want to see people connected with Jesus so that they will be changed. But what are we going to do to see that vision come to pass? We need to love God, love each other, and reach the world. Can I get an amen? It's a lot easier to say amen when we just say that, right? Love God, love each other, and reach the world. Yeah, that's awesome. That's beautiful on paper. Why have we split it up into 3 weeks? And probably should have a whole sermon series on each one of these, right? But it's really digging in and saying, okay, what does it mean to love God? Just to remind you, Nathan taught us in God's word that loving God isn't just coming to church. It's not worshiping. It's not serving. Those don't equal loving God. Loving God starts before that. Loving God starts as a response to God for his love and forgiveness for us, and then that love manifests in those things. So we aren't loving God just by going through the motions. We love God in here as a response to his forgiveness and love for us, and then we manifest that love through worship and service, obedience, right? And then loving others, we talked about that last week. God wants us to be a channel of his love to other people, right? So, man, thus far, it sounds like we would be a pretty successful church if we did this, right? Would you agree? But we look at these principles that we cannot argue are straight from the Bible, and we say, yeah, that is success. That is what we as a church are supposed to be doing. I want to be a part of a church that is doing that. And if we're honest, sometimes even we as dedicated, conservative, Bible-believing Christians, we can fall prey to the consumer mindset to say, I want to be a part of a church that is doing that. And we put ourselves one step away from the responsibility. We agree that the church is made up of who? Us. It's not made up of somebody else. We are the church. So if we look at this purpose, vision, and mission statement, it's a statement for us as a church to follow, but it needs to be something that we each follow as individuals. I've been saying that for about 5 years, 4 or 5 years. I've been practicing it a lot less than I've been preaching it, I think. Okay, because it's hard to do. If we could do this flawlessly, we would be perfect, right? But this is what we should be striving for as individuals. And this is the baseline by which God will measure our church. And by the way, if you read Revelation chapter 3 and the letters to the churches, you will see this baseline. As God condemns and corrects the churches for their wrongdoing, this is the criteria by which he measures them. Are you bringing glory to me? No. Why not? Because you're not connecting people with Jesus. Why not? You're not reaching the world. You're not loving me, loving each other, and reaching the world. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. So today we're covering our mission part 3, reach the world. I don't know about you, but I think that can be an overwhelming realization that you and I are tasked with reaching the entire world for Jesus. Can we just take a moment and bring, you know, just embrace that we are supposed to reach the world. That's a really, really big statement. We're supposed to love God. Yeah, that's a big statement. We're supposed to love each other. That seems impossible some days, right? But we are supposed to reach the world. What does that mean? And it feels overwhelming, right? It's a big world out there and we're supposed to reach it. But my hope today is that you will be encouraged and motivated to reach the world as we answer 3 questions. What does it mean to reach the world? Why should I reach the world? And how do I reach the world? And again, you know me, this isn't going to be rocket science. We're going to plow through this pretty quickly, and we're going to answer these 3 questions. It's not going to shock you. It's probably not going to be anything new. And you're going to say, oh yeah, I've heard Pastor Luke say that before. Oh yeah, I believe that. I know that. But my hope, maybe you're going to learn something new, but my hope is that we will be encouraged and motivated and determined to do something about reaching the world. Maybe it's starting something that you've never done before, starting this afternoon. Maybe it's renewing a commitment to say, I'm going to take these steps to reach the world. But we're going to be encouraged and motivated. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump into God's word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for loving us. And because you loved us, then we respond in love for you. We respond in love for each other. And Lord, we should also respond in love for the lost. God, I pray that you would encourage and motivate us. God, change us as we connect with you and your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can get your Bibles. We're going to cover a lot of different scriptures. The first one is in Ezekiel chapter 3. But if you just want to jot these down or just listen, but we always go into God's word, right? And we're going to go a lot of different places. But here's the first question. What does it mean to reach the world? And in short, here's what it means. To reach the world, and we also throw this world this word around evangelism or evangelize, all right? And so if Christianity is new to you or if you've been a Christian your whole life, what do we mean by reach the world? What do we mean by evangelism or to evangelize? Here's what we mean. To tell others about Jesus. Can we handle that? So we're supposed to love God, we're supposed to love each other, and we're supposed to tell others about Jesus. And I've chosen those words very, very carefully. And we're going to see that in Ezekiel. Here we go. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 17 through 21. God talking, it says in 16, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. So Ezekiel is writing this and he's relaying what God spoke to him. And he says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning for me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin. And his righteous deeds that he has done shall be not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. And again, in Ezekiel 33, he reiterates and reaffirms his call from God. And in that place, he gives the illustration a little bit more, that the watchman sits on the wall, and when there's impending judgment coming, in other words, Israel had already been conquered twice. And so they understood what it was for an enemy to come and attack. And the watchman's job was to warn. The watchman's job was to communicate. And he says, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, if the watchman doesn't make the sound, if the watchman doesn't communicate the impending judgment, that everybody's going to die, and it's going to be the watchman's fault. But he says, if the watchman does his job, and he says, hey, the enemy is right outside the gate, and they're coming, prepare ourselves. And if the people on the inside say, we don't believe you, what can you do? You've done your job as the watchman. So think about this. Ezekiel's job wasn't to fight the enemy, right? His job wasn't to fight the enemy single-handedly. Neither is it our job to fight the enemy. Think of the application. When it comes to evangelism, our job is not to fight the enemy. Who's the enemy? The devil. Who fought the enemy on the cross? Let's say it together. Jesus. Jesus fought the enemy. So we're the watchmen. We don't fight the enemy. That's not our job. Ezekiel's job wasn't to force the people to listen or to respond, right? Neither can we force people to listen to the message of Jesus or respond to Jesus. His job was to tell them, and I say it again, his job was to tell them the message. To reach the world is to tell the message of the judgment of sin and the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. What does it mean to reach the world? To tell others about Jesus. Second question, why should we reach the world? Why should we? Have you ever thought about that? I've mentioned it several times from the pulpit, from the stage. I've said, you know, if I were God, I would not choose us to be the ones to complete this mission. Would you? If you had the power to create flawless, beautiful, glorious angels, wouldn't you rather use them? I'm like, I think, pretty sure Gabriel, right, the messenger angel, I'm pretty sure he would do a better job of evangelizing than you and me. So why does God want to use us? I don't know. But God can use somebody else. He can talk to people directly. So why do we evangelize? Here's a few thoughts. Why should we reach the world? Here's my answer. Because Jesus saved us and commissioned us to spread the news to the lost. So first, because of the fact that Jesus saved us, this is our motivation. If you get nothing else out of this point, you got to get this. Because this ties back into the previous two sermons on loving God and loving each other. I want you to get this. God loves us, so he gave Jesus, and he paid for our sins, and he forgave us our sins, and he cleansed us from all unrighteousness, right? And the Bible says, because he loved us, then we love him. And so our love of God is rooted in his love for us. The Bible also says, be kind, tenderhearted, loving one another and forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, right? So our love of each other is also rooted in the forgiveness and love of God for us. Are you with me? Step number three, why should we evangelize? And you can turn there if you want, but 2 Corinthians 5:14, and 2 Corinthians 5 is one of my favorite chapters. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'll quote later, that God made Jesus who knew no sin to become sin for us. It's all about reconciliation. It's all about salvation. But in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ controls us. It says in the English Standard Version, In the King James, it says that it constrains us. Other versions say that it compels us. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ for us should be our driving motivation for us to tell other people about Jesus. We don't sometimes because we're scared of how they're going to respond. Forget that. We need to quit fearing what other people are going to say or not say, and we need to start remembering that we said yes to Jesus, and he saved us. And the love of Jesus Christ to save a wicked, slothful sinner like me, that's what should compel me to go and to tell other people. So our motivation is because of the love and forgiveness of God in our own lives. If you don't feel like you love God, if you don't feel like you love God, you need to spend more time with God and think about what he's done to save you. If you don't love the other Christians around you, you need to spend more time with Jesus. And if you don't reach the world, you need to spend more time with Jesus. And I could repeat everything I just said for me. I don't say you very often, do I? It kind of stings a little bit more when I say you and I shake my finger a little bit, right? But I need that. We need that. We need to spend time with Jesus. So why should we reach the world? Because Jesus saved us. That's our motivation. Also because we've been commissioned by Jesus, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've taught you, and I will be with you. Go do it, right? He commissioned us, and then he kicked us in the backside, and he said, go. Acts 1, 8, he says, wait for the Holy Spirit after I ascend to heaven, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to be my witnesses. No, I'm not going to use angels. I could, but I'm going to use you, and you're going to be my witnesses. I'm commissioning you, and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my heralds. You're going to be my missionaries in Jerusalem. That's where you live, in your city where you live, in your town. And Judea, that's your county. And Samaria, that's your state, your region. And the uttermost parts of the world. Reach the world. You're commissioned. You're commissioned. Romans 10:17 also says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So why should we reach the world? Because Jesus saved us and because we've been commissioned. But also, here's a very simple truth, because without Jesus, people will be lost. Can we accept that? Let me read a verse. I don't know if you've ever heard this verse before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We all know that one. What do the next two verses say? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. If we don't tell them, they're going to be lost. Let me pause right here and explain to the best of my ability, a very short time, a very, very deep concept. Who actually saves people? God. We don't. Are you with me? So when the Bible says, and when I say, we need to tell people about Jesus because if we don't, they are lost. If we're not careful, we can start to think that it kind of all depends on us, and we can really, really feel guilty. Like, man, I felt like I was supposed to talk to my neighbor or this person about Jesus, and I passed up that opportunity, and I failed, and now they passed away in a car accident, and they're probably burning in hell forever and ever and ever, and it's my fault, and I'm worthless, and I'm nothing, and I just feel so, so bad. Wrong. Okay? We have to balance two very, very powerful truths. The first powerful truth is that God is in control. Can we accept that? God is in control. So do we think, do we believe that God is powerful enough to overcome our mistakes and reach people for eternity in His divine will? Yes. So if you are prone to beating yourself up, don't do that. That's not healthy. That's not a loving Heavenly Father. I think God would speak to us in that moment and say, yeah, you missed an opportunity, but you know what? I'm all-knowing, and I knew you were going to blow that opportunity. So I sent somebody else to talk to them about Jesus before they got in that car accident. Don't worry about it. You mess up quite a bit, and I cover for you a lot. Okay? God covers for us. But I'm not saying that, oh, we don't need to tell people about Jesus because God is in control. See, that would be going into the ditch over here. God is sovereign, He's in control, and He is going to save people. That we know. But we also know that we are commissioned, and we also know, He says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and how will they believe on whom they have not heard, and how will they hear without a preacher? And by the way, the very next verse, he quotes Psalm chapter 19, and he says, but can they say we have not heard? And he says, no, because the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where the gospel or the glory of God is not heard. Woo! So Paul was balancing both of those truths right there in Romans chapter 10. He says, listen, we are supposed to go and evangelize because God has commissioned us to do so. And if they don't hear it, they're lost without Jesus. But just so we don't beat ourselves up too much, we have to balance it with God's sovereignty and the fact that He has revealed His glory through creation, general revelation to everybody, enough so that they should be drawn to listen to the message of the gospel. Okay, that was just a few minute seminary class. I hope you passed. What are the two truths? God's in control, but we're supposed to go and tell. Okay? We're not in control of the outcome, but we're supposed to go and tell. Because if we don't, they're going to be lost. So what does it mean to reach the world? Tell somebody about Jesus. Why should we reach the world? Because Jesus saved us and commissioned us to spread the news to the lost. Lastly, how do we reach the world? How do we reach the world? Here it is. Here it is. It's huge. One person at a time. But you might be surprised at the application of what that looks like. Here we go. As I was thinking about this, how do we reach the world? My mind kept going to Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy. And I was like, Lord, that's not like the great evangelism verses and, you know, Acts 1:8 is a better one. That's how we do it. We start here and we work our way out. Or, you know, I was thinking about all these things and I'm like, Paul and Timothy, what in the world? Paul and Timothy. And these two concepts kept coming to my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. This is the last charge of Paul that he gives to his apprentice, Timothy. And he's given him all these teachings in the first letter and the second letter in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And then he kind of wraps it up and he says, Timothy, listen, I want you to preach the word. I want you to preach the word. And he says, be instant or be ready, in season, out of season, right? And he says, be ready, preach the word, preach the word. And I was like, you know what? We are all not senior pastors or preaching pastors of a church. That's true. But we all are commissioned messengers for Jesus Christ. And so I thought, hey, that's why God took me there, because I think God wants to tell us what Paul told Timothy. Listen, Christians, preach the word. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. Listen, we can study the whole Bible. We can study the whole Bible, but then I think Jesus, as he commissioned the disciples, the last thing he said before he ascended to heaven was, disciples, listen, preach the word. Tell somebody about Jesus. Do it. Go tell them. So we need to preach. We need to reach the world. So we need to tell somebody, right? Here's where the convicting part comes in, at least for me. We don't just need to tell someone, we need to train someone. We need to train someone. Listen closely, and I'll give you a handle. This is pretty cool. Are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You're never going to forget this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 reminds us that we need two. Okay? Where are we at? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Say it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. One more time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And you're going to go away now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 reminds us that we need two. Because we're supposed to tell them, but we're also supposed to train them. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he says, listen up, young whippersnapper of a preacher. I've got something for you, and this is important. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, listen, everything that I have taught you, I want you to pour into faithful men, other leaders, other young pastors, as you get maturity, I want you to pour into them and raise them up so that they will be able to teach others also. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 reminds us that it's not just one. We need to be training somebody so then there's two. And then each one of those people who have been trained, they need to be reminded that they need to train somebody else so it's not just them, it's two. And then all of a sudden, we are reaching the world one person at a time, but it takes two. It sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? We reach them one person at a time, but it takes two. I'm one person, I reach one person at a time, but then I train them to reach one person, and then they reach somebody and train them to reach somebody. So we reach people one person at a time, but we do that by telling someone and training someone. Telling someone and training someone. In case you missed it, telling someone and training someone. Now you tell me, how do we do it? One person at a time? By telling someone and training someone. So how do we reach the world? One person at a time. Are we ready to put this into practice? We covered a lot, so you might be wondering, what am I supposed to practice? I'll tell you what you're supposed to practice right now. Are you ready? This week, I want you to answer this. Will I tell someone about Jesus? Question number one. This week, will I tell someone about Jesus? And I'm not saying beat them over the head with the Bible and, you know, corner them and be an obnoxious Christian that will make them never want to listen to anything Jesus has to say ever again. You know that's not me. That's not how we train here. Write that question down. Answer that in your mind. This week, will I tell someone about Jesus? Question number two, and this is the last one for application. Will I train someone to tell someone about Jesus? Listen, that's where it's at. That is where it's at. It's the last thing I'm going to preach at you here, and then we're going to be done. I think the reason that Open Door Church has not exploded with evangelism and reaching the world is because we're all struggling to try to tell somebody about Jesus. And I think we need to start focusing on step number two. Who am I training to tell someone about Jesus? Because you don't really know something until you can teach it, right? Ask any teacher. You don't really know something until you can teach it. So I don't think we are going to start evangelizing properly and successfully until we start teaching, training someone to tell someone about Jesus. This week, will I tell someone about Jesus? Will I train someone to tell someone about Jesus? Listen, God wants us to take this message of the gospel, and he wants us to reach the world. Amen? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son to die for us. And because of that love, Lord, in turn, we love you. Lord, we love each other. And oh God, would you help us? Based on your love for us, would we be motivated to reach the world with the gospel? And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.